I'm back. Hey, America, guess what? Yeah, I'm back in the saddle again, folks. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing here in Las Vegas, Nevada? This is Mr. Z with the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. It's a beautiful day here in Las Vegas, Nevada, folks. I'm having a wonderful day here. I'm working on my webpage right as we speak. Excuse me. Today's author is going to be Wellness Wednesday. Conquer prostate cancer. One reason why I'm doing this today is Wellness Wednesday. I had a friend who went through a prostate scare. And I got this book a while back last year. And it was very important to me to discover it, because I want to know more dynamics about it. I really do. So I'm going to bring Rabbi Ed Weinsberg on today. And he has the book with Dr. Robert Carvey. It's Conquer Prostate Cancer. And we're going to go ahead and talk about that today. Turn a negative into a positive, okay, folks? So we're going to talk to him today about that. He's going to be calling in to us today. And we're going to really cover the aspects of this book today. And I'm very happy about today, folks. It's a beautiful day here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Wellness Wednesday. And I really want to talk about some things today. And let everybody know that I am 40-something years old, and I've never had my prostate checked. And my brother's had his check. Everybody's had his check. And I need to start thinking about that. I think sometimes people get reluctant to look at this cell, so we're going to turn a negative into a positive, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get my prostate check after this or not. I have health insurance, don't get me wrong, but I'm just seeing the dynamics of this book. Now, this book here is How Medicine, Faith, Love, and Sex Can Renew Your Life, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to have the Rabbi Ed Weinsberg on in just a moment, but here's my motivation for the day, folks. All right, here we go. Last Monday, when we were speaking, I was telling everybody to go on task and do the stuff that they had to do. And I was wondering if you folks did that or not, if you figured out what you want to do. And I've been going through some changes myself. And am I guilty of not doing some of the things I'm supposed to? Yes, I am, folks. I'm very guilty of not doing the things I'm supposed to do. But you know what? I am human. So saying that, we're going to work on our task together, folks. We're going to work on everything together to the point where we can really, really conquer some of our fears, some of our disbeliefs, some of our inadequacies in life, that we can get back on task. And so today, let's talk about some of the fears we have in life that we don't quite conquer on Wellness Wednesday. Rabbi, how you doing this morning, sir?
Good, Mr. Z. How you been?
Oh, I've been doing fine, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well here in sunny Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida? I have a friend there in Florida over there. So how is it there?
Well, it's gorgeous now. Although we had a cold winter, it went way down to 65 and even 35 at night. Of course, the people up north, not necessarily you all in Las Vegas, but up north, they're probably laughing as I say this. But we got through, and now it's perfect spring weather, average 80, 82 degrees.
Yeah, I have a friend there in Florida. I was gonna move to Florida before I moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, but I decided to come back and try Las Vegas, Nevada, because my godmother was here, and I decided, let me try the Vegas, Las Vegas. It's the worst mistake I ever made. I should have went to Florida. I'm not even gonna lie. I hope so. I appreciate that as well. My friend, she's moving out of there now. She's going up to Minnesota. One of my best friends, Tara, she's going to Minnesota. But today, folks, I'm going to dedicate this show to my friend of mine named Jimmy. Jimmy is a lifetime friend of mine. We grew up together in Los Angeles, California. He went through a prostate scare last year, and it was really traumatic for him. And I reached out to him. We talked. We didn't speak that much. But this reason why I got Rabbi's book, because when I came across it, God does things for a reason, and he brought it up to me to look at it. So, Rabbi, tell us who you are, please.
Well, I've got multiple roles. First of all, I served the congregation and the community for various communities for 30 years, retired 4 years ago. One of the things I also did in those 30 years was serve as a hospital and hospice and police chaplain, nursing home consultant, all kinds of goodies like that. Now, since I retired from the Boston area after 21 years there, I've been down here, that's 4.5 years, in Sarasota, Florida, as I mentioned, and I kind of reinvented myself because I ended up, 4 months after arriving, having prostate cancer. It's the old story. You keep hearing how people who retire, and then I was early retirement, 62, always end up suddenly having major medical problems, and sure enough, I did. When they diagnosed the prostate cancer, I had no idea that I was then, after it was all over, with robotic surgery in April, going to go on to write about it, and what was a little memo to myself ultimately became a book, the one that you've mentioned. And then I've gone on to do intimacy coaching for people who've had a major illness, and that illness has impacted on their sexuality. So I've done a lot of good stuff. Bottom line, I'm now a health care educator.
Okay. Well, today, this is Wellness Wednesday. This is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I am Mr. Z, and this is where we take a negative and turn it into a positive. And I spoke with you yesterday, and I really appreciate you being a guest on my show, and I more than you ever know. And I really haven't touched any health issues. You're the first guest I've had that I've touched a health issue. And the reason why I wanted to touch it, spring is in the air, it's coming in the air, and it's a little bit warmer where I'm getting at here, a little bit windy. And I think health is very, very important. And sometimes people fail to realize you have issues. I'm not trying to bring any ill will or anybody, any karma in the air. That's why I was reluctant about having you on the show, because sometimes when you put stuff in the air, it kind of like manifests itself. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make people aware of the positive aspects of this book, not the negative aspects of this book, and how to look and maintain your health. Do you understand me, Rabbi?
Oh, I appreciate that very much, because I wrote the book in that very spirit. You're so right that when it comes to illness, some people just end up saying, why me, and how come, and I'm at the prime of my life, or I finally retired, why can't I enjoy life? I'm not of that mind at all. I say there are multiple ways to get out of that negative mindset, just as you're saying, and that's why I wrote call the book Conquer Prostate Cancer or any illness that you might have.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's start from the basics of this. What exactly is prostate cancer?
Well, the prostate's a walnut-sized gland that's just beneath the bladder, and through it is also a gland through which the end of the urethra, leading to the, hope we have an adult show here, penis, it actually goes through, sort of like a donut. The end of the penis goes right through it on the inside of every man, obviously not with women. The prostate really, for most people, is an unknown entity until you have a problem with it. But it serves a vital function. Most people don't know this, but what it does is it allows, first of all, you can get roughly one-third of semen formed from the prostate. The other two-thirds comes from a part nearby. That, in turn, allows one's testes to function in the way that you can use it as part of the reproductive cycle. I'm trying to be very gentle in my words here, okay?
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you, I'm not saying you need permission from me, but this is Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. We turn negative into positive. And be honest with you, sir, you're going to be speaking with me again, hopefully, on this Sunday. Just yes. Call it like it is. I mean, let's not hold anything back, because a lot of times people, they're afraid to say certain things. But on this show, on the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show, you're welcome to speak as bluntly as you like. I mean, I have no problem with it, because we need to bring this to the forefront. Let's talk about it. Turn this negative into a positive.
Steve, so, well, I appreciate your candor, because I appreciate that, because that's usually the way I speak when I lecture. So I'm going to do that. What I'm saying is that the semen helps carry the sperm from the testes during intercourse, And one third of that semen is produced by the prostate. But there's a secondary function of the prostate. It's one that leads men to really enjoy orgasm. Namely, there's a certain kind of, it affects your ability to ejaculate. So now I'm being very plain spoken, right, Dr. Mr. Z, right? I've said it like it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, tell it like it is. I mean, tell me something. If you have prostate cancer or something like that, does it affect your sexual activity?
Whether or not you have a prostate problem, you could have problems with sexual activity. If you do have a prostate, you will have an ejaculate. If you don't have a prostate, you will not have an ejaculate. Plain and simple. Every man going into prostate surgery has to know that, and that's why if we talk about treatments later on, that's side to it. But at least you get rid of the prostate cancer, and there are other issues, benefits for prostate cancer surgery. But yes, without the prostate, orgasms are still possible. Sexuality is still very, very feasible, but you have dry orgasms.
You have a dry orgasm, you say? How do you have a dry orgasm?
See, most men don't realize it because orgasm and ejaculation occur at the same time for us, as opposed to women. What happens is, in fact, there are two separate functions that coincide when you have a prostate, but the orgasm is indeed a separate process. It just coincides with the ejaculation, which is aided by the prostate. Now, if you have a dry orgasm, meaning no ejaculation, you still have an orgasm, which means you still feel that sexual pulse down in your lower regions, which can be very satisfying, although it's not the same.
Oh, okay. Now, here we go. I'm stupid, so don't take this the wrong way, sir. Do women what is the women's related aspect to a prostate? What do they have? Is it the ovaries or something? I'm stupid because I'm not a doctor.
Actually, that's quite all right, and I hope your audience knows I'm not an MD. I'm an educator. My doctorate of education is in gerontology, the process of aging. But I've always had an interest in medical aspects of aging. So when I had the problems, I learned as much, and in some cases more than some doctors who are too busy practicing to learn the most recent data. I don't say that with extra pride. I just say that as a matter of fact because I've done the most recent research more intensely than many doctors have time to. So it is true that women don't have prostates that function the way I just mentioned. But there is a vestigial prostate that most women don't even know exists within them, which really has no function. It's just because when we're born, it's predetermined by a variety of circumstances, whether we end up being men or women. And in many ways, the gender differences occur early on, but by the third month. But, you know, it could have happened the other way. And I don't know if many people think about that. It depends how your parents' genes combine, you know, the XX stuff. So, yes, there's a vestigial prostate that women have, and it doesn't have any function at all, and it's extremely small, and only been recently brought to the literature. But where women come in when it comes to male prostate cancer is the fact, as I put it, that prostate cancer, socially speaking, is a couple's disease. Now, I've said this to people, and they say, what are you talking about? Women don't have prostates. Well, I just explained they do, but I'm not talking about that now. Women's prostates are hardly the same as men. They don't function in any way, and that's just a vestigial, just a leftover, God knows what, from thousands and hundreds of thousands of years ago. What I'm talking about is that when a man is impacted by the sexual impasse, the obstacles that prostate cancer disease and treatment causes, women are affected because often men withdraw, especially if they have ED, and roughly 75%, 3 out of 4 men who have prostate removed like me, have ED. Whether it's extreme or minor, don't matter. The good news is that close to 20%, 25% don't have ED, meaning they can get it up, but most are not at that fortunate. And in fact, half of all men who have radiation, ultimately between 2 and 5 years after radiation, will also have ED. So that's a serious thing. And if it reflects in men's minds on their manhood and turn may lead them to withdraw, not everyone, but many, and in turn affect women because they're saying, hey, don't you love me anymore, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I look at it that way. I'm just tired of the same old stuff. I ain't going to lie. I'm being mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Variation. Hey, variation is important in every marriage, whether or not there's good or bad health. And that's
why you
both going.
I'm glad you said that. Oh, here we go now. I'm going to ask you another question here. What age should we start checking our prostate?
That's an excellent question. Most people think that prostate cancer is an old man's disease, and I'm sure some of your listeners are wondering, what am I listening to this for? I'm only 30, I'm only 40 or 50. Well, folks, I did some basic research calling the National Cancer Institute and got the statistics from them nationally throughout the United States as a whole. 1 out of 3 men who get prostate cancer are boomers, meaning they're between the age of 45 and now 65. The oldest boomer is now 65 as of January 1st this year. That's 1 out of 3. And there are a total of 200,000, now this past year, 230,000 men who are diagnosed every year with prostate cancer. Just take 1/3 of them, which is roughly 70,000 men in the United States every year are boomers, and the 2/3 are primarily older than that. You will get prostate cancer in rarer cases when you're perhaps even in your 30s. And I heard of one case, but totally unusual, exception to the rule, where someone was in his early 20s. Ultimately, all men will get a form of prostate cancer or precancer. The good news is that it's very slow growing, and in the vast majority of cases, when diagnosed, prostate cancer is caught at an early stage. And I'm talking 85 to 90% of prostate cancer is diagnosed early, and its growth can be prevented, it can be treated, and men, for the most part, can be cured. Unfortunately, there's the other 10% of more advanced prostate cancer patients who will be only treated for maintenance, but they will not be cured.
No, really sad to hear that. So tell me this then, sir. How is it possible to turn this whole conversation we're having today into a positive, this negative aspect into a positive? And on your book, you have How Medicine, Faith, Love, and Sex Can Renew Your Life.
Right.
How can we turn this whole, and tell us about the book too as well, and how you wrote this book too.
Well, as far as the writing, I may have already said in passing that somewhere about a week after my robotic surgery in April 12th, I think it was, 4 years ago, 2007, a week later I sat down just amazed that I had no pain. That's the nature of robotic surgery. It's minimally invasive. Truth be told, whether you get robotic or standard open prostate surgery, long-term the results are the same in terms of a pretty sustained level of ED, but a very low level of having incontinence. There's some of that, too. But I maintain there's a lot less pain when you go robotic. And for me, that was very important. Plus, you get renewed. You renew your energy after the surgery much quicker. Hey, that night I was already walking with a walker. The next day I walked out of the hospital without a walker. You don't do that with open surgery. With robotic surgery, yep. And he gave me some pills to take home, and I used one. I said, "What do I need this for? I don't have any pain." So that was it. And I got to say that kind of medical treatment, and that's how medicine can help you renew your life, is vital. It's vital. The technology, of course, may not be as important as just getting some form of treatment and not ignoring the problem. There is, however, something else that's been very controversial in the last 2 years especially, and that's the question of whether you ought to treat prostate cancer at all. There have been some leaders at the American Cancer Society, including the head chief medical officer with whom I've spoken, distinguished oncologist, who master of cancer issues, who says forget even getting tested with a PSA. If I can explain that, I will in a moment. But, you know, screening is important from my point of view to rule out whatever may happen. I'll give you one simple example. I've been in touch with a wonderful guy who at age 39 found out he had prostate cancer. How did that happen? Well, he is a lieutenant over not far from you, over in Arizona. And I guess he was chafing underneath because he always rode to work on his bicycle. So he went to his urologist thinking, okay, I've got some chafing underneath there near the testicles, and I ought to check it out. And at that time, the doctor said, hey, let's just take your PSA reading, which is simply measuring how much protein produced by the prostate there is in a gentleman, in the man's bloodstream. And he found out, horror of horrors, that he had advanced prostate cancer. It was widespread. It was outside the prostate, already in the bone, or close to it. And he was horrified. Man was in perfectly good shape. But because he had early detection, they treated him, they did chemo on him, he's back to work, he's functioning fully, he's eating what he ought to, and nutrition's a part of this, and he's in good spirits. So medicine has a big role to play, and you never know, even if you have early prostate cancer, whether it will suddenly become aggressive or not, although that only happens in 3% of the cases where you'll get suddenly aggressive prostate cancer from what looked like early stage prostate cancer, and you might even die.
Oh, man. Is there preventive maintenance for prostate cancer? Is there no anything of the sort? Yes, no, perhaps?
Yeah, you know, there are a few centers for the prevention of cancer and specifically prostate cancer. And there I have to say, I kind of laugh at that. You can't prevent something when you don't know what causes it. And they don't know what causes prostate cancer, just like they don't know what causes breast cancer. At best, you can only treat it once you find out you have it. However, there's been a lot of discussion in the world of dietitians and nutritionists that if you eat right and eat a heart-healthy diet, it's less likely that you'll get any form of cancer, let alone prostate cancer. It's quite clear that nutrition and toxic environment, you know, if you live near a place where there's a factory spewing a lot of cinder, you know, you might be a target of lung cancer, as an example, and equally so that could lead to, more likely lead to prostate cancer than people who live in a cleaner environment. But that doesn't mean we know the actual biological cause of why some people in the same environment will get prostate cancer and some won't. All right? Therefore, there's no real way to prevent it. You can, however, lower the risks of getting prostate cancer. And there's even medicine for that. There's a medical item called Proscar, which in experiments has been shown to reduce the incidence of prostate cancer by 25%. In other words, you're 25% less likely to get it. You're going to be more likely not getting it. However, it has side effects, too, by the way, one of which is ED, erectile dysfunction. So a lot of the stuff we take can be counterproductive, but yet it does save us from getting the cancer we try to avoid. And, of course, in the field of nutrition, I'll touch on it very briefly, you can eat the good stuff, which means as many green vegetables as possible. Green, dark-colored vegetables like red, orange, you name it. The darker the color, the more likely it'll help against cancer. But, again, no guarantees. I personally am a vegetarian, and I still got it. So what does it show you? That it's a good idea to eat healthy. You lower the risk, but nobody can guarantee you will avoid it. And, in fact, by the time you're 80% of men have active prostate cancer. The longer you live, the more likely it is that you will have it.
Oh, well, okay. Well the thing, what I'm concerned about is this, what I was asking about preventive maintenance, things of that nature. We're in a health-conscious society here. We seem like we're that way all the time. Are there, like, there was some pills I was looking at the other day, pomegranate pills. Is that something, is that something that people can take for that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, pomegranate, I don't know about pills, but pomegranate seeds, fruit, is one of the recommended fruits, which can lower the risk of prostate cancer. Again, no guarantees, but lower the risk. They used to think that vitamin E was the best supplement to avoid it, and now that's been totally discounted by a scientific group about 2 years ago. It was called the SELECT study. Thousands and thousands of men, those who had vitamin E and those who didn't, and both groups had the same proportion of prostate cancer by the time, I think it was 10 years, had passed by. Majority didn't have prostate cancer, but those who did, it was the same proportion with or without vitamin E. I have friends, in fact, one naturopath, Dr. Naturopathy, who writes for my column at conquerprostatecancer.com that your readers are welcome to look at. It's no charge. And he maintains that's because there are six types of vitamin E, and they use the conventional one from one of the major drug companies, which really doesn't work, but there are other forms of vitamin E that do. So it's not only a question of what fruits and what food and what supplements, whether they work, but which particular type of supplement might be best for you in order to determine how protected you are from possibly getting a prostate cancer.
Okay. Folks, this is Mr. Z. This is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. We're turning negative into positive here. We are here on a Wellness Wednesday. I'm going to have Rabbi Ed Weinsberg again on Sunday on KLAV 1230 a.m. We're going to be talking more about conquer prostate cancer. We're trying to make them to a positive. And this is Wellness Wednesday. While I'm speaking about this, I dedicate this friend to my buddy Jimmy. I'm not going to say his last name, but we grew up together. And it touched me. It hit home. And I've had people in my life that have been sick of certain illness. But when it really gets home to friends, it touches you a lot more. Sometimes the war is not in your backyard. You don't feel it as much. But when the war gets in your backyard or the tsunami gets in your backyard, you're more in tune to what's going on with you. Does that make sense, Rabbi?
It does, and I would like to go forward now and speak only about the positive side, as you asked earlier, because there are so many positives to mention. I just gave the bad news, and if you're ready, I can give some of the good news.
Please do, sir.
Okay. Well, the first thing you got to do, and I write about this in my book, is you can conquer prostate cancer by taking action. Now, what kind of action can you take? If you can't prevent it, at least you know there are ways to reduce the risk, as we just discussed. And that's important to think about, to be aware of it, so that you know what to eat and what not to eat. And, by the way, that will help you live longer anyhow, so it's just as well. If you do get prostate cancer, as opposed to, say, other forms of lung cancer or whatever, you got to know that, about 28,000 this year, 32,000 men died of prostate cancer, but the vast majority do not. The vast majority of men do not die from prostate cancer. It's one of those cancers that you need not be scared about because of the medical world that can help treat it, and the other things that you can do. Now, one of the things you can do is remember that you are a healer, too. You don't just get healed by your doctor. Healing comes from within, and it's your doctor who helps that healing process come out. You got to think differently about what it is you do with your doctor and so forth. So, for example, if you know you have prostate cancer, it's just been diagnosed, you can retain a certain degree of calmness, knowing that it's a slow-growing thing, it's treatable, it's even curable, and you can go forward in life once you get treatment, doing whatever it is you did before. I know many, many men who are back to work. All men that have prostate cancer are working full-time, including a couple of doctors I know who are actually urologists who deal with prostate cancer, but then they got the disease themselves, go figure. Some very prominent men, and they're working full-time as doctors and so forth. So this is not a disabling disease. It's a disease that you can handle as long as you maintain a calm mindset. You know, Mr. Z, in our society, when you hear, quote, someone that has the big C, you know, cancer,
yes,
you say, uh-oh, that's it, curtains. Well, that's not true in the case of prostate cancer. It's very rare, relatively. I said 32,000 die a year, and so it doesn't mean it's not serious. In fact, that's the second leading cause of cancer death, prostate cancer, after lung cancer. But considering, and there's also colorectal cancer, which is a big cause of death each year, something like 90,000 a year. But you got to know that the vast majority of people will live out a good, full life if they take care of themselves. And remember that healing comes from within. See your doctor, but take care of yourself.
Well, tell me this. Do you need a good support group around you if you're diagnosed with? What if you're a single person, you don't have anybody to support you? Is there support groups out there for people, with gentlemen with prostate cancer or anything like that? Do you know of anything?
Oh, of course. There's some wonderful support groups, and I'm sure some of them are in Las Vegas, where you are, with your great show. There, one that I am most fond of, and I gave the annual keynote address last December, is called Us Two International. It's spelled U.S., new word, T-O-O, Us Two, two separate words, International. You can just Google it, see your local chapter. They're a great support group. They're one of the leading support and education groups in the country. They have 350 chapters throughout the world, of which 300 are in the U.S. That's a great group. There's also Man to Man. I'm on my local Sarasota Man to Man executive group. We meet once a month, and we provide both facilitated support and a lecture from a different person who's in the field of nutrition and cancer, prostate cancer, whatever. You have the wellness communities. They're all over the United States. They're a great bunch of people who now have just recently incorporated Gilda's Club. I know you know about Gilda's Club from Gilda was of Hollywood fame, and she died of cancer a few years back.
Gilda Ratner.
International. Uh-huh, Gilda Ratner.
Gilda Ratner.
Remember?
The comedian. Yeah, the comedian from Saturday Night Live, right.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when she had cancer and died, she fought a brave battle, but she passed on. They decided to create Gilda's Club International, many chapters all over the country. Recently, though, they decided to join the wellness community, which means they're now part of it. And you can find Gilda's Clubs probably two in Las Vegas. I got to believe there's at least one. So that already is four resources. Now, the question you asked is, can you find a support group? The question is, do you need one also? I did not know as much as I do now when I had prostate cancer. I wish I had that in my book when I first got it. And I maintain that it's not absolutely necessary to have a supportive group or support group if you have family and you're open with them and they are very supportive, or you find a couple of friends in your neighborhood who've gone through it and kind of give you pointers the way I'm doing now as someone who's been through it. But I went afterwards, I would say 3 months afterwards, because I had some issues. I was having a hard time dealing with ED due to surgery. And I got some good help there and good support. And knowing you're not alone is very important.
Now, question. Here we go. I'm going to get to the meat situation. Is prostate cancer race bias?
Well, unfortunately, there are some race differences. Most notably, I have a hunch you're an African-American. Am I correct in that?
Am I whom?
Are you an African-American, or not? I have.
Can you tell it in my dialect or something? What's going on?
Well, you have a southern dialect, but you live in Las Vegas, so I thought maybe you... Well, anyhow, what's important for you to know, whether or not you are, is that our friends who are African-American, I have a number of friends who are at greater risk, 50% higher incidence of prostate cancer among African-American men than Caucasian men. That's just the way it is. And there are various reasons for it, but most of it is conjecture, such as, well, it could be genetic, because it's also true of Africans in Africa, that they also have a higher rate of prostate cancer, Tanzania, South Africa, you name it, than do their white counterparts. Others say, well, for a lot of people who are African-Americans, they don't have the same access in a number of cases as do Caucasians to good medical facilities, so this goes unnoticed, and therefore there's greater harm and done and more incidents and so forth. And I think that's only partially true. I don't think that's largely the case, but it is some truth in that. So whether it's environmental or something that comes genetically, we don't know why, but yeah, it's true. African-Americans will have a 50% higher incidence of prostate cancer each year.
Okay, now, we have a healthcare crisis here in America, and I'm turning a negative to a positive. Is there any place that people who don't have health insurance can go get their prostate checked out, or what's the best way for someone to go if they don't have healthcare providers or any insurance to get their prostate checked?
Well, the good news is that there are many opportunities to get your prostate checked. Hey, I went about a year ago down to our local stadium because a group called Zero, which is the Fight to End Prostate Cancer, sends out two mobile screening units a year all over the United States, and they came here to Sarasota. I talked with two docs. They were residents, students, who were very good, a husband and wife team. And, yeah, people got there free of charge, screening, the whole works, and the blood tests primarily, plus the other thing which a lot of men dread, but is nothing. It's a 10-second procedure called a digital rectal exam to make sure there are no bumps inside on the prostate, which would be an indication that there's a tumor. And these mobile units go around all over the country. Sometimes you will have hospitals giving free clinics. MD Anderson, one of the leading cancer clinics and locations in the world out down in Texas, does occasional freebies like that. And I personally encourage more of that. There's only one hitch, though, and I've talked about that with the American Cancer Society chief officer, Dr. Brawley. And the hitch is this. If you get the exam and you get the results, but you don't get the education that tells you what to do with the results, then you may as well not have gotten the results. It can lead to panic, unnecessary panic, when we all agree that you can be very positive if you get prostate cancer, as long as you know you are in good hands in the medical community and you do other things for yourself that we can talk about shortly to keep a positive attitude. So, yep, it's available. And ultimately, if here's the rub. For most people, there are no symptoms that you have prostate cancer. I mentioned the lieutenant earlier. He's in perfectly decent athletic shape. It was a shock to him that a guy in his great shape had prostate cancer. I know a couple of Hall of Famers. One of them is actually going around the country in a prostate cancer awareness tour. His name is Haynes. You may have heard of him. Who also were in great shape when they discovered they had prostate cancer. Baseball players, you name it. Terrific athletes. No symptoms for the vast, vast majority. But, you know, when you do have symptoms, you can walk into any emergency room. You can't get routine testing, but you can walk into any emergency room of any hospital in this country, and they are required by law to treat you even if you have no health insurance.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is, though, is today I was watching the news when I first woke up this morning, and the funniest thing, this is the one-year anniversary of Mr. Obama signing the health care bill, and they were showing the statistics of what it was when he signed it last year to this year. And I'm not trying to get into a debate about the health care bill by no means. I have my own attitude about that, and I'm not trying to get anybody's opinion about my attitude because I really don't care, because this is going to be my attitude as well. But the sad thing commentary about this is this. In our society today, Rabbi, is that we have some of the most prominent physicians throughout in the world, and we have some of the poorest healthcare providers that really don't help us out in society. And I don't understand that. Why is that? Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah, in fact, it's true. What you're saying is absolutely true. We have a miserable record of the number of people who get cancer and all kinds of illnesses, despite one of the best group of best-trained physicians and other kinds of people like physician assistants and nurse practitioners and the medications and so forth. How does it happen? I got to ask myself the same question. Not enough people are going to their doctors. That's the first thing. Especially men. You know, a lot of men think that they're strong enough, they're feeling good, why bother? For all we know, they're ticking a time bomb when it comes to heart problems. I remember, who was it, a guy named Reggie, great, great player on the Celtics, since I'm from Boston, I mentioned that, who during one of the practice games over at Brandeis University suddenly dropped dead. Man, you couldn't get a better basketball player and a more physically fit guy, but what was wrong? He had a genetic heart defect that nobody ever discovered, and it was discovered only after he died suddenly. out of nowhere. It was a major loss to all of us, and, of course, mostly to his family. So people don't pay enough attention to their health. Preventative health is extremely important. Get checked out. Get an annual physical or twice a year if you need to. Don't assume that just because you feel good, everything's right inside. And I think that that's a very important thing, especially when it comes to prostate cancer. I did say before, though, that some people say don't trouble yourself because it's so slow growing. You could more likely have prostate cancer and die with it without even knowing than the other way around. But I say, what about the exception to the rule? I'd rather find out, and if it's going to be aggressive, have someone treat it than find myself suddenly facing death's door, you know? So that's
yes.
The number one reason. That's the number one reason. Getting the proper medical care is increasingly harder. And by the way, you know, all these boutique doctors now who charge multi-bucks for people who can most afford to see doctors anytime, 24 hours a day, more and more doctors are opting out of the medical system because it is so, oh God, twisted, you know, bureaucratic. It's not a good system. I think Mr. Obama is trying to help everybody by having greater access without people worrying about preconditions, you know. I have a daughter who had asthma. They wouldn't accept her because she had asthma in one or two Blue Cross companies. I shouldn't mention the company, but I did. That's not right. So I applaud that. But the biggest argument that I understand that comes from the other side of the aisle is that it's going to be more expensive and make America bankrupt. And I don't know if that's true, but that's what the Republican side says. If it were a good, cheap system and people got all that access, I think that's a good thing. And even though you didn't voice your view, that's what I think.
Well, right now, here's the thing on the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I have an opinion, but my opinion matters. But it's not about me. It's about me and my listeners. So I don't want anybody saying, oh, gee, he's just so opinionated. Here's my thing about health care and prevention, things of that nature. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Can't stand this state, but they do try to take care of their children. That's one thing I can say about that. I feel, truthfully and seriously, our priorities are totally wrong in America. We're not focused on education enough, and we're not focused on health enough. And we only get focused on those things when there's an election coming up or something's in dire crisis that we start worrying about some of these things. Education, it should be the foremost. And if education is taken care of, then our health problem be taken care of because we're more educated and understand the things that can be preventive maintenance. Things can help us out in understanding we need to have health insurance. We need to go see a doctor on a regular basis. Things like that, my opinion is this, and I'm going to give my opinion about this as well too. We're so busy trying to pay our bills, pay Peter and Paul and Mary, that sometimes we neglect to take care of the main reasons why we're here on earth is to be happy and to live. And we're so busy trying to make sure everybody else has money in their pocket, but we're not taking care of ourselves in a proper fashion. Does that make sense, Rabbi?
Absolutely. I agree with you.
No, you do, huh?
I sure do.
Thank you.
I sure do. You're right. I really do believe that. Hey, you know, we are a giving society. That's amazing. Even in hard times, maybe especially in hard times, while philanthropy went down for a while, more people were giving at a lower level. Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Right.
Because we feel for each other. But, you know, you got to take care of number one if you're going to be able to go on to number two, three, and four.
Well, this is, like I said, this is Wellness Wednesday, turning a negative into a positive here on the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I've heard some horror stories about people on their deathbed worrying about how they're going to pay their health bill and not worrying about getting their health together. Because they were so more worried about paying a freaking bill than they were about getting their health together. And one reason why I want to bring you on to the forefront today is this. Don't worry about the bill as much. Worry about your health. Does that make sense, Rabbi?
It sure does. We have an old saying. I'm also, because I'm a rabbi, I have some Jewish sayings. And one is, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. It's a little
you
bit
don't.
Of an exaggeration. It's exaggeration, but it's true. It's true.
I mean, because, Rabbi, with prostate cancer or with any other cancer, the big C, or any other particular disease in society today, we get all caught up in with the disease itself, but we don't really get caught up in the cure. This, you know what I mean? How to get us back, because we get so caught up. It's like, okay, I got this, and I got it. But how about we worry about the cure, about how taking our mind is a very powerful tool. And the Supreme Being, whoever one wants to believe in, has gave us a lot of tools besides medicine in order to cure ourselves. And a lot of internal medicine within yourself, you can really help. And I'm not trying to say you can just cure yourself from some disease because you think of it. But a lot of mind power is very strong. So if you work
let me give you an example. You're absolutely right. Can I give you an example of that in terms of my prostate cancer situation? You know, when I learned that surgery would be best for me, because I had a couple of problems, bladder as well as prostate cancer, I had no choice. I had to have surgery. And there are other reasons I could tell you either today or next time we meet on the radio why surgery might be a better option than other things. But that's for another time. But the point is, I was facing surgery. Now, most people, they say, they're going to go into surgery. Panic, you know. This is scary. I've got my anxiety, you know, my heart's racing. I got to go major scale, you know, surgery, and this is not for me. I worked out a relaxation approach, listening to meditation tapes and so forth, and then devised my own visual exercise. In my case, when they pulled me into the surgery room on that cold steel gurney, I was fine. Why? Because I imagined I had my little friendly kitten with me on my chest, imaginary. And I was stroking it, and the cat was purring. This is imaginary. And that's what was happening immediately before they opened those dark steel double doors to the surgery room. Mentally, I was putting myself in a good place. So you're right. People can put themselves in a good place by just turning inward.
Well, I woke up this morning in a funk, but you know, financially sometimes things are not the best, and sometimes my health is good right now. I'm pretty blessed with my health, and thank the Supreme Being for that, and perhaps my mother watching over me. Sometimes you wake up in a funk, and one thing that I've noticed about myself, and in particular, and I read a lot of books, and your book in particular as well too. You really have to have a strong mindset in order to stay healthy, because if you don't, your body can get infected with a lot of diseases that you don't normally think you get, because the toxicity in your body can manifest to certain things. Do you agree with me on that one, sir?
Oh, I'm very big on that. The mind-body connection, I write about this in my book, is extremely strong. You can have two people. You couldn't even talk about soldiers coming back from the war. Both of them have amputations. One guy is resolved that he'll figure out how to use that prosthesis and walk again. The other guy is mourning the loss of his leg, and he'll never get back up again. Why is that? Because the mind-body connection is so strong. Very often, it's your mind that counts first. Your body responds to it.
Rabbi, tell us who you are, please, and the name of your book, please. And your co-author, Dr. Robert, was it Carvey?
Carey.
Carey, I'm sorry, Carey.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And tell us about Dr. Ed Weinsberg. Just to repeat, I'm Rabbi Dr. Ed Weinsberg. I'm not an MD. My doctorate's in gerontology. I'm a prostate cancer survivor who, within a few weeks of recovering from surgery, started writing a book about it. And published it in October 8. It's called Conquer Prostate Cancer, How Medicine, Faith, Love, and Sex Can Renew Your Life. We haven't gotten to the faith, love, and sex part, but we will, I'm sure, today or this coming Sunday. Dr. Carey is one of the leading robotic surgeons here in Florida. I had the very good fortune, God was good to me, to have him being available.
Now, you say a portion of the book proceeds will benefit prostate cancer support and education. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I mentioned Us 2 International earlier. I pledged them 5% net of any proceeds that I get for the book, and other than money coming in. Zero also will be a beneficiary. That's that well-known organization in Washington. Us 2's base is in Chicago. And also is an advocate for prostate cancer research and development, and ways to raise money for that, and for the mobile units, screening units that are free to the public that I mentioned. So that's the kind of way the book will benefit some of the leading prostate cancer support organizations.
Now, with faith, love, family, and sex, what's the easiest way, with all that combined, to get back to some type of normalcy in your life after overcoming prostate cancer?
Well, let me just deal with the love part, because that's complicated by itself. As you know, love, they say, makes the world go round, but love is a very complicated thing. I mean, some people say love is a many splintered thing. Remember that song? I always say love is
yes.
a many splintered thing. we all have our ups and downs, even in the best of marriages, for example. But what happens? In American society and probably in Western culture altogether, there's this notion that the most important thing a man and a woman can do together, or two companions, when they're in love, is to have sex. And if you end up with ED, as majority of men with prostate cancer treatment, if not the actual disease, will have ED, erectile dysfunction, men start despairing, often, not always, but often just distance themselves from their wives. And why is that? Because for them, the essence of manhood is being able to have intercourse. We need to change that attitude long before we have any disabling disease of this sort. We need to be able to understand that we should make love, not have sex, as our priority. And, of course, part of making love is to have sex or intercourse, but not always. There's the rest of the human body. I was on a show last night, and the discussion came up with another psychotherapist who I happen to know personally, and she said very clearly and correctly that your largest sex organ is...
It's the brain.
No, guess not. Not the largest one. The most important one is the brain. The most important sex organ, absolutely right, is the brain. But the largest sex organ is your skin. Skin is an independent organ. Okay?
And epidermis, yeah.
Exactly. And what we need to do, and I actually have accomplished this, so I kind of practice what I preach, is return to the lovemaking concept and hope that it might include intercourse if it's if the person we're dealing with is the love of our lives, and some people say even if they're not, but that, you know, I'm not going to get into that discussion. and if it doesn't, then we have the rest of the body. I believe in what's called whole body sex. I actually have a method whereby I recommend first support the next person the best way you can, psychologically. Give them a sense of their worth, and they'll reciprocate, and that'll give you a feel-good warmth toward each other. That's the first step in making love. And do things with and for each other outside the bedroom, okay? And then you can learn the art of touching. First, perhaps, a person's face, the cheek, and then some people recommend an interesting kind of approach. I would call it essentially a body massage, a full body massage, with or without clothing. That's up to each individual if they have a relationship where that can happen. Many don't. And so some people say, hey, solo sex is okay too. And I'm not here to condemn anybody who believes in that, a.k.a. masturbation. Okay? You know, you said I could say the words on the show. I'm saying the words on your show.
I'm laughing okay? Because it's so true. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I hear you. We like to use words instead of words. I know.
Self-gratification, you know.
Hey. I gotta say. But, you know, every human being, above all, has a right to have intimacy, whether it's sexual or not. And so when I talk about intimacy and sexuality, I'm not always talking about the same thing, but I'm definitely not only talking about sex, which is intercourse. I'm talking about the full story, of which intercourse is hopefully a part. And there are all kinds of devices. I want to be upfront with your listeners and yourself, which can help a man regain an erection, at least momentarily. There's the old blue pill, Viagra, or its competitors, Levitra and Cialis. There's a vacuum erection pump, of which I think there are easily 10 or 20 manufacturers, which allows the blood to come to the surface, which is what causes a penis to extend, being gorged by blood. And there are other means. Last but not least is, well, over 300,000 men have now gotten penile prostheses, implants, which...
That's for the porn industry, man. That somebody do some, why would you do that to yourself, though?
Well, because when you... here, I'll give you one quick example. This man, 80 years old. I write about him in my book. 80 years old.
Hugh Hefner?
No, you is 84, and he claims he takes Viagra once or twice daily, and it doesn't have negative effects, so that's how he keeps functioning. Believe me, I'm a big follower of Hugh Hefner because he's a cultural phenomenon. Not that I care for him, but I just like to follow him because he's a unique personality. And by the way, he's getting married in June to a nice, beautiful 24-year-old. He gave up the other two girls in his harem. So you got to say something positive about him, right? I think this
yes.
is going to be his third marriage. Well, so he doesn't have a problem because thank goodness for Viagra, and he's proud of it, and he says it loudly and publicly. So I'm not revealing anybody's secret. But these are devices that allow a person who has ED to function at least for a short while, anywhere from half hour to 2 hours, and while it's still not the same because again there's no ejaculate, it is satisfying. I also know a case, by the way, of a woman whose husband said, look, we're doing everything else for full-body sex, and I'm happy. And she says, well, I'm not happy that you're not able to enter me with your penis, and so I'm very depressed about it. He couldn't do anything for her. Now, go figure, huh? We have to remember that women are sexual human beings, too, and that's why prostate cancer is not only a man's problem.
Well, okay, here we go, Rabbi. When we talk on Sunday, we're going to get more in depth about this conversation about prostate cancer and things of that nature. We have a few minutes before we go out. Is there something you want to cover that we haven't quite talked about? And we have about 5 minutes that we haven't covered today, sir.
Yeah, let's talk a little about the need for faith. Because, again, that is in keeping with your positive approach, which I think is so important. And I'm so glad you're dealing with it from that and that your listeners are learning from you to hear that message. What does faith have to do with renewing your life after prostate cancer? Well, the answer is everything. If you don't have faith above all in your higher power, that someone up there is going to watch over you even though you've been through what you consider a crisis and may well be a real crisis, then you've given up on life. Don't. Even if you don't call that higher power God, you got to have a sense that somehow, call it the universe, is going to go your way. Or there are things in the
gotcha.
Universe and people in the universe who are going to help you all get along the right track. That's called faith. There's another kind of faith. I call it faith in your doctor. Now, not every doctor is deserving of your faith or trust. And if you
some
visit
quacks.
With a doctor and a, huh? Yeah, there are some. Or there's some doctors who are really good at what they do. It's just that you don't need what they do. You know what I'm saying? You need something else.
Yes.
For example, most doctors studiously avoid the subject of sexuality. Most urologists and gynecologists, they only talk about the mechanical side of sex. To their credit, they know a lot about that. They help men get those pills or use that erection device and so forth. But what about the relationship side? They don't deal with it. They're not trained or they don't have the time because, you know, the medical system we spoke about doesn't give them enough time to deal with relationship issues. And often the patient's too embarrassed to bring it up. Among boomer women, for example, something like only 1 out of 3 women will talk about matters relating to their private parts or even to their bladder. Hell, if I want a gladder bladder, I'm talking to my doctor, you know? But
well,
so many people think it's personal.
What is the stigma, Rabbi, for people not wanting to go to the doctor nowadays? They're always afraid to go to the doctor. Is that we're afraid to what's going to happen to us? If we go, we might get a bad diagnosis. What makes that fear?
Yeah, you said the first answer. You gave the first answer. People are afraid of finding out they may not be as well as they think they are. And people are often afraid of being judged by an authoritarian authority figure like doctors. Doctors are among our leading authority figures, right? Many doctors
yes,
stopped wearing white coats so they wouldn't have that appearance, but it's still true. And when you feel you're going to be judged, you say, I'll skip it. Or if you're a man, you feel macho, I'm not going to bother.
Okay. Well, doctor, we have about 2 minutes before we go out. Tell us who you are again today, please, sir, and I'll have you again on Sunday.
My pleasure. It's Rabbi Dr. Ed Weinsberg, book Conquer Prostate Cancer. The website, conquerprostatecancer.com. But the subtitle of my book is even more interesting, How Medicine, Faith, Love, and Sex Can Renew Your Life. And if you have a hard time getting the free information I give out on my website, try the other one I have. It's called rabbied.com, R-A-B-B-I.com. com. A lot of good stuff on intimacy and a whole bunch of other things.
I'm gonna have you get on. I'm gonna have you get on Sunday on KLAV at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I know you're in beautiful Florida, and I really appreciate it. And I dedicate this show to my buddy Jimmy. And like I say, my mom always looks after me as well too. And I dedicate it to her for giving me the love and the respect to be here today. And I truly appreciate you being with me today, Doctor, as well too. And on a positive note, give me something positive going out today, Doc.
Sure. I believe that the most important kind of faith a person can have is faith in himself or herself. That is to say, rely on your resilience to get you through whatever crisis you have to face or confront. I have seen people at death's door coming back because they willed it, and you all have it within you to do so.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, sir, and I will speak with you again on Sunday. You have a blessed day. All right, sir?
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. All right. All right. Thank you, sir. Hey, folks, this is Wellness Wednesday. This is Mr. Z here. I hope everyone got some insight from Conquer Prostate Cancer. This, like I said, this is Wellness Wednesday. The reason why I'm doing this today is this. Look after your health, folks. Here's why I thought about this. Sometimes people put things in storage, and when they take them out of storage, they have to dust them off and they look at them, and they see that it might have holes in this or it needs a little maintenance. Treat your body the same way. You've been hibernating for winter. Now you're about to get out and be a little bit more active in life. Run around, play, get out and do certain things. How about you check your body out? How about you, women and men and children, look at your body. See what's everything going on with you. See if you need to do some maintenance on yourself. And if you're fine, thank the powers that be. This has been the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I am Mr. Z. I see you when I see you, and I will talk to you again on Friday. You folks have a great, great day and a beautiful morning. And do me a favor, pick a song, make yourself smile today. Peace. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, I'm out of here today. Thank you, Doctor. I'll see you folks on Friday. I'm going to have a surprise guest on Friday. I'll let you folks know what's going on. But I'm going to get out of here right now. I'm going to call it a day. And you folks have a great, great Wednesday, okay? Love you. Mom, thank you for giving me the love in life. Bye-bye now.